I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
See the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me.
All righty, Chip and Chase, and sit on my face. We are back for another episode of Get the Puck Out, brought to you by DeepBlankDell.com. I am here with my man, Kyle O'Howe. We're back. Kyle, right off the hop. I woke up this morning to some alarms outside, like when a goddamn natural disaster is going on. Freddie Anderson left the Leafs game last night. Didn't look so great. The Panthers rallied back in the third to beat the Leafs, and everyone is holding their collective breath and their collective nuts in Toronto. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? What did you see?
Well, it's easy to speak before we hear what happens. You know, the big news is going to come if Anderson does miss any bit of time. And if that's the case, Kyle Dubas is going to have to step in and save the season. But that's what we're talking about. But this could be as easy as Freddie Anderson is ready to start the next game. We don't know. But there is a lot of people scared right now. And for good reason, because you cannot lean on Michael Hutchinson at all for any extended period of time.
No, Michael Hutchinson is not a good enough backup goalie. You know, Kyle, I wanted to bring this up for our friends in Leafs land. I know everybody's a big fan of you and me in Leafs land, so we're going to bring this up. But, like, you know, you saw this week Kasperi Kapanen slept in for practice, right? And there's been all this talk about trade.
We don't know what he did.
He missed an alarm. He came out and said it.
No,
he talked about it. No, he did. Okay. He missed practice. He slept through an alarm. And I guess he had done it once before or twice before in the AHL. Yeah, you know, he was out getting his whore on, getting his greasy lap dance on, greasy trailer park girls gone wild. But no, you look at Kasperi Kapanen, and you think, okay, well, maybe now, especially if Anderson's out long term, they would have to consider coughing up and paying the price for the goalie in New York there, Gorgiev.
Yes.
If he's out, they have to acquire. If he's out for any amount of time, they have to.
If he's out for a month, you know, it's not like they can just, you know, try to get Bernier 2.0. Try that again.
And listen, I know after the game, Sheldon Keefe did say that he was cleared from concussion protocol. He doesn't have a concussion. Didn't even rule out him practicing. But the Leafs are playing with fire here. Freddie Anderson plays too many games. He plays the bulk of the season, and then everyone gets mad at him in the playoffs. But when you look at successful teams, you got to have two goalies. Look at the goaltending the Blues are getting after the season Binnington had out of Jake Allen. And you see top-tier teams like the Capitals who have that have Samsonov and Holtby, and the Bruins got Halak and Rask. And, you know, you got to have two viable options in net in this day and age of the NHL.
Any team in the playoffs right now has some sort of secondary goaltending. And right now the Leafs aren't getting that at all. Now, say Freddie Anderson's fine and he's going to start the next game. That's still in a problem in itself, is that you're relying too much on him. You're asking too much. They need to go out and make a deal here regardless. So I was thinking about a couple ideas and really who makes the right fit, because it seems like Gorgiev's going to cost the moon. And, you know, if you extract Kapanen from your lineup for a guy who, if you're healthy, isn't even starting the game, then that's hurting your team. I don't know if I would, as fair of a trade as it looks, I don't know if I move Kapanen. I would be looking at a different deal, like perhaps Ryan Miller out of Anaheim, who has actually kind of been solid now. He's not going to start that many games, but, you know, he's a guy.
No, even Ryan Miller is Ryan Miller is a great option as well if they don't want to go the Gorgiev route.
He's not going to cost Kapanen.
No way Ryan Miller would cost Kapanen, but here's the issue with Ryan Miller.
Is Ryan Miller ever going to want to step foot in Leafs jersey? I don't know.
Well, does Ryan Miller want to leave LA? Because, I mean, he's in our California, right? Because he's only there because his wife is like a model. But his wife's like a model actress, right?
Does he want to try to win a cup, or does he want to sit in LA? I don't know.
I don't know if he wants to win a cup
that bad. The only other fit that I looked, and I was looking at teams who are selling, teams who have a goaltender, in goaltenders that are cheap, because the Leafs can't go out and experiment on some Corey Schneider or, you know, some kind of Corey Crawford experiment. It's just not going to work.
No, well, I mean, Corey Crawford would maybe be an interesting option if Chicago decided to sell down the stretch and keep like half of the remaining money, because he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. But no, I think you put the perfect affordable candidate right out in front of entire Leafs Nation right now, and that is Ryan Miller is probably the most cost-effective short-term stopgap at the Leafs back position.
I think Ryan Miller's injury-prone. Right. So if they trade for Ryan Miller, they send Hutchinson down. Guess what Hutchinson's going to do? He's going to clear waivers.
Of course.
So Ryan Miller gets hurt, you call him back up.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only other play out there is Alex Stalock out of Minnesota, who's playing some solid hockey in front of a weak team. And Dubnyk went down and he carried.
Yeah, Stalock isn't a bad goalie at all out of Minnesota. He would be a viable option, but I didn't even think of Ryan Miller, man. It's been so long, but that's definitely somebody. You know, we're getting here. What are we, 20 days away from the trade deadline? Is it February 24th, the trade deadline?
It's getting close. I think
it's getting close, man. We're getting
less
into
than 3 weeks.
Less than 3 weeks away, and the deadline has definitely been like the hot topic of discussion. Players in and out of the trade rumors. Chris Kreider gets kneed in the head the other night. That was pretty brutal looking, but apparently not too bad. His name will be out there. A lot of New Jersey Devils players are going to be available. The Leafs should have a lot of viable options come deadline time.
Now, here's another thing, too, here that I don't think we really kind of gave as much importance on last night's game as there was, because the Panthers actually hopped the Leafs in the standings after that game. That was a big game last night. And now I know Anderson got hurt, but they allowed Marky Pissmissile to come in, a defenseman turned forward for a game, to go out there and score a hat trick and lead some crazy comeback in the third. That's a big win for the Panthers, who now slide into that three spot.
Matty Pissick, dude. What a great last name. Piss. Pissick. I like it. Matty Pissmissile. I love to see that. He had a great game. A defenseman turned forward, put me in front of the net, coach. The NHL three stars of the week actually dropped, which is cool, from the week of January 27th to February 2nd, which is actually like pretty much the exact same time that we were here last, Kyle. So, and in that game, Kyle, I had predicted we did the hot minute and we were talking about the Art Ross trophy and you picked Connor McDavid like any old fucking hockey little boy would. But me, I went off the cuff. I said Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers have actually taken Leon Draisaitl off of McDavid's line and are going for the old Pittsburgh Penguins 1-2 punch down the middle combo, hoping that as long as you have some half-capable wingers, you can get a good playoff run out of a team. And they've split them up, and it seems to be working. And it's funny because in, like, you know, I think it's almost been, what, 10 games since they've been apart, him and McDavid?
Not that long, but...
No, I think it was 5 games or something like that. Yeah. He has something like 12 points or something.
Well, they're on and off too, right?
Yeah.
And there's no denying what they can do together. They, on the power play, should absolutely be paired together. But
when you
see what can happen, when you're getting that depth option, when you can have Connor McDavid play with Zach Cassian, and there still needs to be another winger there that is addressed at the deadline... but when you move Draisaitl down to the second line, and Kaylor Yamamoto, he looks to be a fit there. He's gone up and down.
Yeah, Yamamoto's been great.
He's looking really good lately, and it just shows that with that depth, if you're getting two scoring lines led by two guys who drive their line at the top of the league, then you're going to get depth scoring, and they're starting to blow teams out. That was a huge Battle of Alberta game. The goalies were fighting.
We'll get into that.
Stomped on. But it's just, you know, if you can even try to simulate the Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin down the middle, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl is as close to a fit you can find there. It's almost a shame they've been shit for so long.
Oh, it's super shameful that they've been shit for so long, man. It's crazy. And I want to kind of talk about that because that was definitely on today's agenda to talk about the Battle of Alberta, man. What about the league, eh? You know, they have that crazy first game and Cassian jumps Tkachuk And then the next game, George Parros shows up to watch the game. Like some fucking dickhead in a suit in the stands matters, as if it's going to turn down the temperature in the goddamn battle of Alberta. Are you kidding
me? Maybe if they traded him like Vince McMahon and put his face on the on the big screen.
Yeah, like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? That's not happening. The Calgary Flames are... no, absolutely not going to deter anything.
They're going to fear suspensions in the heat of the moment.
But right now, Kyle, right now, we could potentially, I know Edmonton is only, what are they right now? They're second in the division. They're 3 points back of first place, Vancouver with a game in hand. And dude, it's not out of the realm of possibility to have Calgary and Edmonton play in the first round of the playoffs. If there are hockey gods, that will happen.
They will play.
And I'm like an agnostic guy, but like I'm telling you, if we get a Battle of Alberta in the first round, you can dunk me in the fucking holy water yourself, buddy. Put my head right under, born again. All those nights of fucking stingers and women, it'll all be gone. Like, basically, I'm just born again.
Chris, I felt like a dick the other day. I was driving with the wife, and I had to turn over, and I had to ask, what's Chris's kid's name? I'm like, I only know him as Patrice. Because you were supposed to name him Patrice when the Bruins lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. And she was like, Lincoln. I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't remember. But I think he's just going to be Patrice to me for forever.
Man, I will never forgive Lincoln's mom for not letting me name him Patrice. Lincoln was the second best option we had. When I look down at him sometimes, I actually see a little Patrice Bergeron looking back at me. I tend to just pretend that Patrice Bergeron's actually his father, and he just kicked in my door one night and cucked me like a little beta bee. I would let Patrice Bergeron bang any member of my family, anybody, no questions asked. I would take a bullet for that guy. He's the greatest.
Sorry, Dad.
No, but legitimately, he is, he's the king, Patrice Bergeron. I'm actually working on a little project right now that involves Patrice Bergeron in some aspect for the Bruins diehards, but we'll talk about that at a later date when everything's locked, loaded, signed, sealed, and ready to go. Now, Kyle, I want to hit back into the Battle of Alberta a little bit more, because did you see the other night when the goalie fight broke out, man? Like, it's so funny. You see all these people on Twitter and like all these PC mob, social justice-y people that are like, well, I just don't see the need for fighting in hockey. And what about concussions, this, that, and the other? And then the second a goalie fight happens, everyone's like, play that goalie fight, like stream it right on my asshole. Like, I am so excited. Everybody's so fired
Everyone
up.
Everyone just legitimately drop what you're doing.
Project that fight right onto my cornhole. I'm so excited. That's how it's so funny, eh? Like, if a brawl breaks out and it's like players, people are so upset. But when the goalies come and swing at each other, everyone's got a fucking
Mike Smith standing out there like the Knight of Doom, just waiting.
Dude, Mike Smith drank at least 2 bottles of gin that night and was just looking to fucking fight somebody. Even though he played there last year, he was like, I don't care where I played last year, I'm down to throw bombs at people. That was hilarious. Him and Talbot, they switch sides and then they end up scrapping anyway. Yeah. It doesn't matter what jersey you have on, whether you're on the Edmonton side. A guy like Milan Lucic has been on both sides. And I saw the media, they were really giving Lucic the 21 questions about why he didn't fight, this, that, and the other. He wasn't on the ice, and he's like, guys, this isn't 1980. I just can't go and skate and attack someone. He's like, I stuck up for my goalie this year with a jab and got a 2-game suspension. Like, the fuck out of here. These people, they're all like, well, do you ever find it frustrating when you can't just beat the shit out of someone? He's like, I don't know, man. I make $6 million a year. I've been in 8 million fights. He's probably like, I don't fucking want to fight anybody. I just want to get rich and keep my brain safe so that way I can live the life of a millionaire and slam my wife and be normal. Yeah. And have a regular relationship,
exactly.
Instead of having to go through hell, man. Like, honestly, I was always like kind of an old school like mentality guy, like, get on the ice and play. And then like talking with Carcillo, man, and just seeing the effects that a concussion can have, like nothing that we talked about really in on camera, but like a little bit of the stuff off, it's just like, holy fuck, man. Like, you're talking about these guys' brains, and they treat it like they treat their brains like it's like you pulled your hammy, man. It's crazy shit. Now, other surprises in the West for me right now. We see this Pacific Division, Kyle. It is, the race is on in the Pacific Division. There's like five teams in striking distance. The Coyotes fell out of first place. They have acquired the Taylor Hall. Absolute putrid, vile winning vibe. Since Taylor Hall arrived, the Arizona Coyotes have been crap. But like, you got
What's with that, man?
The Coyotes, they got Taylor Hall, and all Taylor Hall does is bring first all picks.
They lost Kemper.
I know they lost Kemper. That's
yeah, that Pacific is tighter than a insert tighter joke than, that'll get me fired.
Tighter than a nun on a fucking Tuesday, buddy. It's about five teams there within striking distance of, I think, 4 or 5 points. You got a team in Arizona who's got 59 points, who are only...
And Vegas pops back in, too.
Yeah, they pop back in, but they're only 2 points behind Vegas. Maybe they
reacted a bit. Who knows?
Yo, they definitely overreacted.
Pete takes them.
Dude, I'm telling you, I predicted it. Pink Slip Peter is going to take the Vegas Golden Knights to the promised land and win the cup this year. I really do think that. I think Pink Slip Peter will get it done. Third time's a charm. But another division that we like to keep a particular eye on, of course, around here is the Atlantic. You got the hometown Toronto Maple Leafs. And obviously, me being a Boston fan, you being a Tampa fan, we have ourselves quite the race in the Atlantic. The Tampa Bay Lightning are only 5 points back of the Bruins with a game in hand. And playing some great hockey lately. Both teams on three-game win streaks, both 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. You got Florida at 8-2 in their last 10 games, Kyle. Let's take the homer glasses off, because I know how I think it's going to end. How do you see the Atlantic Division panning out? Do you think the Bruins hang on, or do you think Tampa's going to leapfrog them?
As well as Tampa's been playing, I think it's going to kind of sort out as is. I don't see Tampa continuing to play at this torrid pace that they've been on, but they are playing the best defensive, offensive, team-orientated game they have all year. And one player that's really stood out for me has been Mikhail Sergachev. He is really coming into his own this year, offensively, defensively. He's used to learn his body. He's got size and he's never really used it before, but he is out muscling and outworking opponents this year. That's leading to the transition for Tampa Bay. And Drouin, who? And that was a complete steal.
Yeah, Drouin has not done anything that people thought he was going to do after that little flash that he showed before the Tampa Bay Lightning traded him. That has been an absolute massive win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. You have to be happy if you're a Lightning fan. Now, another thing I want to talk about, Kyle. And not to keep turning it around to the Leafs, I know that they're tied with Florida right now, but they
speaking of borderline alcoholics, Michael Hutchinson looks like he's ready to take a 12-step dive off the fucking vodka pool.
Speaking of alcoholics, did you see that picture of Eddie the Eagle's mugshot smiling? Oh, yeah. His skin is yellow as fucking anything I've ever seen before, dude. That guy's liver
his
is
mugshot. He's smiling.
Yeah, dude, because his liver is lit. Did you see how yellow his skin is, dude? That guy's liver is legitimately poisoning him. I know everyone was laughing, but when I saw the skin color and the skin tone on Eddie the Eagle, I was like, maybe someone should offer this guy, some fucking rehab or something, you know? like the guy's skin is legitimately yellow and he's smiling in a fucking mugshot and people are like, Eddie the Eagle bangs, let's go. And I'm just like, dude, this guy's going to die. He's got his liver shutting down. His liver is shutting down. You don't get yellow like that for no reason, man. That's fucked up. But I want to say is I know Toronto is tied in points with Florida, but Florida has two games in hand. Toronto's played 53 games. They only have 63 points. The wild card right now, it's the Philadelphia Flyers at 65 points and the Islanders at 64 points. But a team like the Islanders that the Leafs would need to catch for a wild card spot have played three less games than Toronto and have the same amount and have one more point. So it's like, man, if Florida doesn't stumble, Toronto could be in tough, man. Like, regardless, they could be in tough.
They're in tough for that wild card spot because wild card spot, as you mentioned, have more points than them with games in hand. Toronto's real shot
is the third spot
is overtaking Florida. That's why that game had so much pressure on it last night for the Leafs. And I mean, losing Anderson doesn't hurt, but I mean, that was just an awful, awful display of defense there from Cody Ceci.
Oh, man.
And when it just, Cody's... You, it goes back to it. It's like you have a GM, and I know the contract with Zaitsev is an anchor, and it's good to have it gone, but you rightfully went out there and traded for Cody Ceci. I don't care how you look at it. You still went out there and employed one of the worst defensemen in the entire league.
Yeah, and everyone knew it. Like
that's a problem.
The fact that the Senators were like, yo, this guy's an RFA. We can team control him. But we're willing to just take more years of Zaitsev to get this guy out of here and not deal with it. I think we all missed that.
For another year and let him walk. But we would rather not do that. They did get Connor Brown out of it. And Connor Brown
hasn't played too bad for them. The old Maple Leafs like a former members of a band like that have been in a band has a lot of members and then the former members of the band get together. That's like the Ottawa Senators with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got Ron Hainsey. You got what's that short guy that they had on forward there?
DJ Smith, coach.
Yeah. No, DJ Smith's the coach, but who's the forward that they have in Ottawa?
Small, puny forward on Toronto. You're going to have to be more specific.
He used to play for the Sabres.
Oh, Gerby.
Yeah, no.
Ennis.
Tyler Ennis, Ron Hainsey, Connor Brown, Nikita Zaitsev. There's more, too. There's legitimately more guys on Ottawa that used to play for the Leafs. And they got like the old Leafs reject squad going hard.
Helping the Tank Nation. There's no other way to do it. Surround yourself with Leafs and the tank will come.
Yes.
And it seems that plan is working strategically for Ottawa.
It's paying off in spades for Ottawa, buddy. You love to see it.
Not paying off for Buffalo. Poor Dwayne. Oh, the King.
Poor King Dwayne from Buffalo. He was absolutely dejected, and we're gonna pull that clip and play it here. So hold on one second. We're gonna do that
because I wasn't fully expecting playoffs, but I was happy with the way the season started because the competitiveness was there. Last year was misery 100% after the 10-game streak. It was absolute misery because the competitiveness, the passion was not there. And it's been there. And then they go out and lay an egg last night in front of me. Of course, I was at the game. First time I went to a game with my sister, by the way, and she had to sit there through that. And it's mind-blowing. Like, I don't need a Jerry Jones type of owner. Like, I need an owner who's going to answer to the fans when they misspell names on jerseys and have Chinese knockoffs on alumni. Like, what is going on? Like, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand it, man. Like, Bulldog, you've lived through this. You've seen it. Like, have you ever been, like, have they ever sucked the passion out of you like they have me? I've dedicated my life to hockey because of this team. Like, I can't do it anymore, man. Like, I'm seriously, for the first time, considering just not being a season ticket holder this year.
Kyle, honestly, did you hear the pain in Dwayne from Buffalo's voice? How much does Dwayne from Buffalo rule, dude? Like,
dude, that
how
hurt
is that guy?
That hurt me. And coming from someone who, like, secretly wants the Sabres just to be good, it really came to the realization that this is just a broken man coming to terms with a broken team. And what do you do? Like, what do you do? You're wasting Jack Eichel's career. Jeff Skinner's brought in to be this big payday player. You know, he had a 40-goal season on a, you know, contract year. And now, Chris, you got the stats. Like, he's having a bad year now.
And Jeff this is not looking Skinner good. Stinks this year, bro. And I have a funny story about that. My neighbor is a big Buffalo Sabres guy. And in the offseason, I saw him outside. And I was like, hey, you know, Skinner's staying. It should be all right. And he goes, nah, he just earned his contract last year. As soon as he knew he had the $9 million secured, he stopped playing. He goes, he'll stink next year. He's like, it's Buffalo. It's always been this way. And it's true, man. Like, my neighbor will never, ever be excited about this Buffalo Sabres team. There was a hashtag after Dwayne's flip out there that we just heard on Twitter, and it was hashtag, we are all Dwayne. And the Sabres fans all feel that way. This team is just honestly ripped like their gizzards of their collective fan base.
Dude, the Pegasus were like trying to like get rid of the clip, and like, you know what I mean? Like, there was other comments made that the Sabres organization wanted to have removed, and they wanted to be respected as a team. But like, how do you respect the organization? It's almost laughable. And I feel bad. I know a couple Sabres fans, and this is just brutal. I mean, they have virtually no chance at making the playoffs because of the format we play it. This isn't some crazy fun 3-2-1 point system where if you go on a crazy 10-game streak, you can make up significant ground and find yourself in the race. This is a broken system, if you ask me, with the loser point, and it is so tough to make up ground.
You can't gain 10
points out this far into the season. I'm sorry, but they are done. Dead in the water. No.
They're dead in the water, obviously, man. And Jeff Skinner signed through 2025-2026 for $9 million a season. Captain Jack as well is going to be there the whole time. He's at $10 million. Jack Eichel's a great player. He's playing up to snuff. I feel bad for him. He's going to end up asking out for sure. There's no way he can play on that terrible
team. Stop pretending that Jeff Skinner isn't capable of repeating that season. Let's forget that. They
11
have
goals,
Skinner.
8 assists in
They've
42
got Jeff
games.
Skinner on the second line. They were trying to make Olofsson mesh with Eichel, and it was working, and he went down, so he's missing. So they're spreading the depth, and Jeff Skinner is playing on the second line with nobody. Sam Reinhart's having a decent year, and he's been one of the few bright pieces on the Buffalo squad that you would expect from, but it's him, and it's Jack Eichel, and it's nobody else. Olofsson's hurt, and they're really missing him. And just moving forward, they need more NHL-capable, caliber, skilled players. Like, Evan Rodriguez is
not an NHL player.
You got a guy like him requesting a trade. He requested a trade. The guy who wouldn't make any other team in the league requests a trade.
That's absolutely unbelievable.
That's how bad it is in Buffalo.
I can't even get over it. And you look at a guy like Marcus Johansson they brought in this summer from the Boston Bruins. He comes in and he's only got 6 goals and 16 assists in 45 games. He's not doing enough. He has one more season left. You look at Buffalo.
He's a very good complimentary player. He was never going to take over in Buffalo.
No. He's the guy that if you put him on your third line next to a Charlie Coyle or something, he's going to produce. But if you have him in your top 6, you're in trouble. A great third line player, complimentary piece for Marcus Johansson, but definitely not working out the way that they thought it would. And I find that funny. The Pegulas and everybody that anybody that follows me knows that I had my own little Dwayne from Buffalo this year. I was covering the Ice Dogs of the OHL, and I brought up some news about them getting fined for cheating the league, which they were, and they didn't like it. They didn't want me saying that kind of stuff. Pulled the pass, pulled the Pegula. So I get it, man. These owners don't want the fans knowing anything. All they care about is your money. They don't give a flying fuck. They don't give a hoo-ha or hey about you.
Well, they give a shit about the Bills.
The Pegulas give a shit about the Bills? I mean, yeah, I guess right now because they're okay. They do. Like, how long have they been bad for? We'll see how much they care when they got
to build. Did they buy the Sabres before they bought the Bills?
No, I think they had the Bills first.
Okay.
I think, but the Bills need a new stadium.
It was like a ploy just to get the Bills, but I don't know how it panned out. But either way, I mean, just
maybe, because I know he owns that whole downtown like area, right? Like when
he's
you go over to
with it. I mean, you go downtown Buffalo, it's not too bad anymore. They got that new
way
bar
better, there. Man.
Way
the
better.
The 716 bar bangs.
Yeah, it's great. Pegula
owns that. It's right in the hotel
Every
there, right at
the
arena.
Up the wazoo.
Yeah, man, and the wings there are deadly, bro. Yeah, man, cheap tickets. You can pay with Canadian money over there sometimes. They try to draw the Canadians over. It's not a bad organization, but, I mean, listen, when you have had a everything is put together on is based on success. And a guy like Dwayne thought for sure that after the toe in the crease goal that Buffalo would have rebuilt and been back there by now, but it's been horrible. He claims that the Pegulas aren't accountable. I would love to have Dwayne from Buffalo on here to kind of get more into that, because he was talking about you know, the alumni wearing knockoff China jerseys,
yeah.
He kept saying. I don't really know the story behind that. I would really like to hear Dwayne from Buffalo come on and give us the story. So, Dwayne from Buffalo, if you're out there on the podcast waves, hit the boys up. We need to talk about this, man, because he did not sound like he was doing okay. And
no,
we were all a little concerned.
We need to hear from the king.
We need a wellness. We need a wellness check on the King of Buffalo, Dwayne. Kyle, Dwayne from Buffalo. We had the Leafs sitting outside the playoffs again. A big loss. Matty Pisick, a fucking defenseman playing forward. Pots a hat trick versus the Leafs. That's so Toronto, buddy. Great episode today. I'm probably end us here unless you have anything else you want to add, my man.
Keep your cock out your pants and your stick on your ice.
That's right. That's right, guys. Make sure you do that. And also make sure you tune into DeanBlundell.com for all things. Get the Puck Out under the little podcast tab. You click there, you're going to see Dean's podcast, Darren Millard's podcast, a couple other guys, and then, Paul and Brenton on tour. Great podcast there. And then you'll see Get the Puck Out. You can also catch us across all of the podcast platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, Google, Stitcher Radio, all that, anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can get the Puck Out, as well as on YouTube. We'll be posting the videos to the DeanTube page, which is the Dean Blundell show page, as I learned how to actually put audio podcasts onto YouTube because I'm a goddamn
computer genius. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year when I get it, because everyone knows that my technology shit is pretty slow, guys. But thank you for tuning in to Get the Puck Out. I want to remind you that if you're not running with Get the Puck Out, run from it, motherfuckers. We'll be back next week. Take care.